Welcome back to the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit. We're in the 5.0 version and talking about things that impact the energy system. So the energy body, according to Ayurvedic medicine, lies next to our physical system. And on the other side of that is emotional and mental. And so this energy system is a really important one for providing information to how your genetics express themselves and your organ systems are and your immune system and microbiome. So what we're going to talk about today is more along those lines. My guest today is a dear friend and co-collaborator and colleague, Lloyd Burrell, who is creator of the EMF Health Summit, the Healing with Vibration Summit, and bestselling author of the book, Healing with Vibrations, and founder of the website electricsense.com, which has had over 4 million visits since its inception in 2009. He's passionate about educating people about the dangers of electromagnetic fields and sharing solutions and helping people reconnect with the healing forces of nature. Welcome to the summit, Lloyd.
Thank you, Keisha. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
So we collaborated on the last Healing with Vibration Summit and got to interview a lot of really lovely people and that are very, you know, adept in their fields of expertise. And that's one of the things I enjoy about these summits the most is being able to talk to people like you and other experts in the field. And I would love to hear what are the takeaways, like the top takeaways for you from that summit?
Yeah, that's what I really love too, is connecting with amazing people that you would never in your wildest dreams speak to and or meet. But I actually had the good fortune, because I meet very few people that I speak to online like this. Very few. I can count them on my hand. So it sort of exists in a kind of virtual reality way. But one of the people I have met, and he actually lives in France now, is a gentleman called Dr. Keith Scott Mombi. And he's a brilliant guy, got quite famous in the 1980s. And he's an MD, a PhD, and he's very well qualified and has held professorships in universities and is an amazing guy. And he's actually been to see me, and he slept in my daughter's bedroom next door, and we shared many a fine meal together. And we've got this thing, really, which we share this passion for understanding the world and the universe. And one of our favorite topics is consciousness. I love talking about consciousness and exploring that, and you know, what's behind all that. And it sounds a bit out there, because it is, and it's kind of difficult to get your head around what it is and why it's important. But it's like everything, you know, consciousness is behind everything. It's behind who we are and the universe. And this, you know, information and energy. And remember, last time he came, we went for a coffee or several coffees down at the local market, and we were talking about consciousness and quantum theory and stuff. And that is one of my passions. And it's about making that real so that people can, you know, it's about why is that relevant to this life that we lead? You know, where does it fit into what we're doing, into everyday life and our problems and concerns, etc.? And it does. And so that's really one of my highlights is with him and exploring that. So it's information and energy, and he looks at it in the very in the kind of the big picture. And then what kind of ties in with that at a more personal level is the work of Dr. Beverly Rubik, who I'm sure you know and probably spoken to, and her work on the biofield, you know, this field of energy which is around us. So we've got like the consciousness and the biofield, and it's all information and energy. And this biofield is so important, and it's always been around, and we just call it different things. We call it vital force, aura, and it's this field of energy which, well, according to her, it goes out 5 to 6 feet, but according to me, it depends on the person. Some people, it goes out way more than that, and we're all kind of interacting with each other at that level, and at a quantum level also, all the time, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's how this bio, how working with the biofield, you can impact your health. And this biofield is electromagnetic, because of course we're in this electromagnetic world, in this electromagnetic universe, and which kind of leads into a conversation about EMFs, and we can have that, you know, about these man-made EMFs. But they're kind of two sort of big picture important aspects that and I mean, I interviewed 50 guests and they're all amazing in their own ways, and but those are like two which I think are worthy of sharing today.
You know, I started off talking about Ayurvedic medicine's concept of the panchakoshas. Well, the last one is that field. They call it, you know, in 10,000 years ago in Sanskrit, it was called, and it still is today, the Anandamaya Kosha, which is your bliss sheath. It's that energetic field that bumps up against other people's bliss sheath, you know? And when we're too in our own stuff and not paying attention to nurturing all of those layers, one of the things they talk about is we don't have immediate access to it all the time. And yet that's where we get our epiphanies, and why it's said that there's no new thought, because it's all there, all the wisdom of all time and space is sitting in there. And when we get these like downloads and places, you know, it's coming through that space. So I think it's just such an amazing conversation that we need to be talking about, is this is what creates our reality, and how we focus on it according to quantum physics is shaping our reality quite literally, right?
Exactly. And I'm sure you've heard this before, you know, the answer is within.
Yeah.
And like, we're always looking outside, but the answer is in us. And it's and all of this, I think, exploring these topics, then it brings you back to that fundamental truth. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go out, you know, you read all and you listen to these brilliant people, and then you, at the end of it, you it very often comes back to something very simple. Mm-hmm. But and something that we're overlooking. And mm-hmm. So it's taking the time to understand that and using these tools that enable you to access information. And obviously the starting point is kind of an acceptation, understanding that this can happen and allowing that to happen. And then, and the tools, the kind of tools I'm talking about, are meditation and breathing work and stuff, which I know you all over and that you share with your community. And
gratitude practice, you know, like that's a big one too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like we said before we came on, that's exactly what I was saying. It's that, I think everybody has got, I mean, I feel particularly fortunate and blessed, but I didn't always feel that way, because, you know, the reason I'm talking here today is because of what happened with my cell phone, and I got very sick, and, you know, and not just my cell phone, but the whole thing around all of that experience, which lasted years, nearly 10 years for me to get over. It was sent like just the most awful thing at the time. And now obviously I realize what a blessing it was. And it's enabled me to learn so much and to share so much. And it's given me this, I've always had a hunger. I've always been kind of ambitious, but in a good way. It's not like getting ahead. It's just, I've had a hunger. I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And this is just seems to grow over time. And I think it's one of the healthiest things that we can acquire, that hunger to know, to understand.
Curiosity. And that's,
mm-hmm. yeah. And it fuels, I think that fuels well-being. And it, you know, I'm 55 and I'm going like, you know, people in France are retired at 55, quite a lot. And I'm not thinking about retiring. I'm just thinking about what I'm doing next and continuing. I've got this hunger, and it, that's what's driving me. So, you know, call it hunger, call it projects, call it what you will, but you need to be aiming at something. You need to be aiming at something in your life.
Yeah.
You need a purpose. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah.
It can be a small thing. With me, it just happens. It seems to be a big thing. And I'm not saying that's better or worse than anybody else. But yeah, whatever it is, you need to be, have that purpose and be aiming at something.
Mm-hmm. Mission and purpose are important. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the title of your talk is The Energies That Heal and the Energies That Harm. And you mentioned a little bit, alluded to your story. Do you mind, for those of you that haven't, you know, for those of the viewers that haven't heard it before, why don't we drop into like what did happen with your cell phone in the 10-year period for you and move into the impact of these energies?
Yeah. So I answered my cell phone one day in 2002, and I had this reaction, which was just kind of initially unpleasant. And then over the course of a few calls, it just became unbearable. And people say to me, well, how did you know it was your cell phone? Well, it was, you know, cell phone next to the ear, very intense pain, took it away. The pain was going away. And it was this burning sensation, this prickly skin. This like my brain was burning up from the inside, and it started with my cell phone. And then I was getting the same sensations around my computer, the TV, the radio in the car, the corded landline, even a regular corded landline. I was reacting to everything. And it seemed as though nobody could help me, because I went to see my doctor who referred me to specialists and so on. And they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And so, yeah, it was like, well, we're back to the kind of the answers within. And that's where, and I eventually went to see different healer persons, and that kind of put me on a track. And it really resonated with me, that much more than the conventional medicine, because there seemed to be the beginnings of a solution. And I discovered it was this thing, electromagnetic fields. And the short version of all this is, so I had these debilitating symptoms, just to be clear. So it was like, it was this immediate symptoms. And then it was brain fog, massive fatigue, and all kinds of bodily aches and pains, depression, anxiety, weight loss, weight gain. And it turned my world upside down. And it was obviously a strain on everybody around me. And I had to reorganize my life, because I couldn't, things I couldn't do. The happy ending is, it took me about 10 years, but I really got to a point, and have got to a point today where, like the other day, actually Sunday, the internet went down, and I had 2 days, because it was a bank holiday weekend, where I was working off my cell phone for even my desktop internet connection. And I couldn't have done that before. And so, so this is where I am today. And I did feel it a little bit initially. But so the important thing to understand here is that everybody is not impacted by these EMFs, electromagnetic fields. Yes. So we're talking about cell phone, Wi-Fi, smart, wireless, Bluetooth, all of that, the wireless, what's commonly called wireless, which is actually radio frequency, microwave radiation. And then we're talking about the wires. We're in these homes actually, where we've got this wiring, which is emitting these electromagnetic fields also. And this dirty electricity, and we're being impacted by all of that. And some people are impacted very clearly, and there's a very clear association between the exposures and certain symptoms, like me. But most people, they don't feel it. But what the science is saying is that these exposures impact everybody at the moment, anyway. maybe that's going to change over time as humanity evolves. And that's my hope. So that's why it's important to understand what these technologies are doing, and the screens, and the, you know, how it's upsetting our kids, and the addiction, and the, you know, the behavioral issues around all of that. I mean, it's profound how this technology has impacted our society. And that's my message, is really to bring awareness to that. And also, well, okay, well, what can we do? Because there is actually a lot we can do, because the people that come to me, then either they're just kind of vaguely interested, or they've got real bad symptoms. And, you know, the 5G antennas arrived on the lamppost in front of their home, and they're not well at all. And the good news is there's so much we can do, and it is recoverable. Not easy, but it takes work. And it's not just EMFs, of course, you know, Keisha, it's the whole thing, which is EMFs feed into all this toxic world, which we're being impacted by, and these toxins, which we're creating ourselves, emotions and trauma, and we know, which is,
right.
And all that kind of mental stuff as well. And it's all creating this perfect storm and impacting people in different ways.
So let's talk about some of the methods people can use for protecting from some of that harmful energy that's emitting from out here. A lot of the summit is talking about what they can do from the inside out, but what about from the outside in?
So I have a protocol called the And so already just saying that, it kind of puts you in a good place. And my stands for, and I'll talk about, if we have time, I'll talk about another kind of if you remind me on that. But my stands for U for understand, M for measure, and M for mitigate. And so it's just understanding these EMFs, understanding the dangers, understanding these different types of EMFs. That's the beginning, because if you don't understand, it's just another piece of, you know, we're in this world where we're in overwhelm, and it's just another bit of overwhelming information which you won't do anything with. When you begin to understand the dangers and all of the science behind of all this, then you will begin to do things for you and your family, for your kids. Please, you know, look at that, consider that, particularly if you've got small ones or grandchildren. And then the second step is to measure. At some point you need to measure, which is really easy and inexpensive now. Got these EMF meters, so you can measure all this stuff. Honestly, you can do like a whole home audit in like under an hour. I mean, it's not difficult and it's not expensive. And seeing is believing, because it's not until you get the meter you think, geez, my cell phone's doing that, you know. That's insane. Yeah, I shouldn't go to bed with my cell phone. I shouldn't do that with my cell phone. I shouldn't put it in my top pocket here. I shouldn't put it down on my hip, you know, next to my reproductive organs, for instance, and all those kind of understandings. And then the third thing is to mitigate. And that's a whole load of things that we can do to protect ourselves from this. And there's basically three things we can do, very simple. First thing is just turn it off, whatever it is that is impacting you. And if it's a cell phone, it means invariably putting on airplane mode, like full airplane mode on everything, which all kind of wireless connectivity. And second thing is to increase the distance between you and that device, which again, with a cell phone, then literally millimeters away can reduce your exposure thousands of times, thousands, yeah, not hundreds, thousands, millimeters away. And the third thing, possibility of a form of mitigation, is to shield. And shielding is like what you do when you've explored all the other possibilities, last resort. But basically, that's the overview. And I can go into detail on that, on any of aspect of that. But that's kind of the overview. And then it's applying all of that to these different exposures. Okay, well, now how do I apply that to the cell phone? How do I apply that to the Wi-Fi? How do I apply that to these devices which I'm using? And how do I apply that to my home? Because it's really what's going on in your home, and notably in your bedroom. because you see when you go to bed that you've, you know, when you go to sleep, because when you go to bed, you're hopefully going to go to sleep. And certainly by looking at all of this, you've got a way better chance of being able to go to sleep and being able to get quality sleep, and that your body can heal, quite simply that it can heal, and all of that, what that means, you know, in terms of your cells and your hormones and et cetera, melatonin, notably. So there's
everything from devices like that to painting your bedroom walls.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, that is like when people think of EMFs, they're thinking, oh yeah, I have to paint the wall and I have to buy, you know, the Faraday canopy, which costs $1,000 and all of that. But most of the time you don't. You get the meter and you realize, oh, it's not as bad as I thought, or there's something else, or I'm doing this, or hang on a minute, if we just do that wall, or if we sleep there or move the bed there, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a lot easier than you might think. And it's just overcoming certain hurdles in the mind sometimes about, because this technology is incredibly seductive and we want to just be like everybody else and have all those conveniences. And I get that. And, you know, I've got a cell phone now after 19 years, I've got a cell phone. And it's, yeah, there's things which are just so complicated if we don't have one, but there's really simple, powerful things we can do to make it safer. And again, it's particularly for our kids, this. And that's why I started this whole thing, because I was seeing, you know, I saw what it done to me, and then I read the science, and that's what just blew my mind, is how it impacts children, particularly small children.
So you were going to talk about a second
So the second, actually, it's not an om, it's a hom. And the hom, and this is one of really my favorite interviews on the Healing with Vibration Summit, and it was with a gentleman called Jonathan Goldman. I don't know if you know Jonathan, but he's amazing guy. You interviewed him?
I haven't yet, but he will. Yeah, he's a guest. He'll be a guest.
He's a guest. Okay. Yeah. So, best-selling author, Grammy nominee, a musician who in the 1970s was going around playing in bars and places, and he realized that the music he was playing was disturbing people. It was like not having the right effect. It was creating negativity and even violence, and obviously it wasn't perhaps just the music, it was like alcohol and everything else. And he went back to school, he went to university, and he started studying music and sound. And it was like he very quickly came to the realization that music can heal, and that sound can heal. And not only that, that self-made sounds can heal, but heal very profoundly. So again, we're back to this, what we were saying at the beginning, is we're always like looking to buy something. With me, it was like buying the gadgets and the stickers and stuff to put on the pendulums and all the rest of it to protect me from the EMFs. But we have these amazing tools, these inbuilt tools, and our voice is one of them. And because we are vibrational beings, right down to our cells, to subatomic, to, you know, the electrons which are spinning, it's all about energy, vibration. And we have this tool, our voice, which we can create these sounds very simply. I mean, this had a profound effect on me. Literally, I do this every day, and I can give you a demonstration. It's very simple. Yeah, I mean, it's profound, the science behind this, how it can change your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, increased heart rate variability, create nitric oxide, which was like voted Molecule of the Year in 1982 or something. it can create melatonin. We were talking about melatonin, you know, this master hormone. We're in this world where we have this depletion of melatonin as a species because of the EMFs. Well, that can replace that. And just a whole load of other things, hormone, you know, mm-hmm. hormonal goodies come from doing this practice. And it doesn't take a lot of time, and anybody can do it. And it's like, you don't have to, you know, like we think some people can sing and others can't. Well, this is your chance to be not judgmental about any of that and just make a noise, you know, your God-given right to make a noise, a vibration. So that was,
let's have you do it.
Yeah. Well, I thought you'd join in. Actually, it's better with two.
I do this every day too. And
you
I don't
do
know
this every day too.
Yeah.
So it's really getting, it's always, all of this is, cause you can kind of do this. And I have to admit that this is one of my failings, is doing it a bit too quickly and not being in the moment with many things. I have many practices, and but as you do it more, you get better at it and you can do it quicker. But you need to take time and linger in this experience a little bit, I think, to get the most benefit from it. And it's just really taking a big a deep breath, a belly breath, perhaps closing your eyes so you can concentrate on it. Typically, I don't, but let's do that. I can feel you want to do that. And then we're just going to take a deep breath together, and we're going to close our mouth and just hum when we exhale. So here we go. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to exhale. So 1, 2, 3. We just keep going like that. I mean, already, I don't think you can tell, but it's already put me somewhere else.
I want to show you, this is a pranayama practice that you can add to that. And it actually stimulates the vocal cords, which bathes the thyroid in oxygenated blood or nitric oxide. And what they have you do, it's the practice is called Brahmari, bumblebee breathing. And you do it a lot louder. So I do this every day, and you close your eyes and you close off your ears and you cover. And you can either put your hands on top of your head and close your eyes or just cover your eyes. And you take a big deep breath in, and you do the humming as loud as you can. So you're really vibrating those vocal cords through the whole exhale. And you start with doing 7 of those a day and you move to 21. And so, yeah. And so it's this really beautiful, and it's exactly what you just said. It's after I finish that, I don't want to do anything except for meditate, you know, because it's like the bumblebee breathing has brought everything into alignment, you know, and the mind and its churning is settled, you know?
Yeah.
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 You want to do one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a full exhalation with as loud of a hum as you can do. Okay. So you go deep breath in, and then you exhale. And then you take a deep breath in and do it again 21 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that.
It's just drops everything. I always think about it like, you know, how the old gold, what do they call it? Like when you're panning for gold and you're taking all that silt off the bottom of the river and then shaking it. And what's left on top is the gold, because all the silt comes down. That's kind of how I feel it does in my system.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a beautiful, I'm so glad you introduced this.
Yeah. And then you've got variations on that also. Mm-hmm. And one variation is to introduce intention. And of mm-hmm. course, that's tremendously powerful. And again, it's like a muscle, you know, intention is very much like a muscle. The more you use it, the more powerful it gets. And there's this kind of relationship with the everything source, and it builds. And we can direct with our humming to different body parts that need mm-hmm. healing. Mm. And that's something else which is very easy to do. And I actually figured out a chart it's really different for everybody. But there does seem to be certain. So that's the hum. But then we can actually go through the alphabet, and we have certain sounds which resonate with certain body parts. And I did actually create a chart on that for my little group that I work with. Because everything is like resonating slightly differently, and it's a symphony of self, all of this. And sometimes, like, somebody's out of tune, like somebody's lost their music sheet, could be your knee, your ankle, and so it needs a little bit of help, and you can help it in that way just by doing that humming exercise, closing your eyes and locking in with that stiff knee, whatever it is, and just sending healing there, that frequency.
I was given a name for that. Like, it's, I think I sent everybody that prayer that had come through, and part of it was called, like, it's up to each of us to sing our harmonic scale.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's not our right or our responsibility to awaken others, but to sing our harmonic scale. And then if anyone hears it and wakes up, then that's what your gift is for them, right?
Yeah.
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 And I love that. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lloyd. I so appreciate you taking the time to share some of your wisdom with us. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to make sure you say before we say goodbye for now?
I think what I would like to share with everybody, and it's something I try and do, is random acts of kindness. And so with me, I tend to do it more online because that's kind of where my little world is online. So I'm talking about random acts of kindness with people you don't know. And this is something I try and share and try to remember to say and try and do myself, most importantly, because it's by leading example that we'll get this ripple effect. But if everybody was to do that, because, you know, there's a whole, like, talk about, there's a whole lot of BS around spirituality and people thinking they're spiritual when they're not. In a way, just when you say the word spirituality, it's kind of, it takes some people into the wrong place, but it's just about doing the right. I just call this doing the right thing. And if more people did the right thing, and that is just by helping people, it can be, you know, when you see an old lady carrying a shopping and helping her with that, or stopping to let people cross the road when you're not even on a crossing, or things like that. Or there's so many ways you can help people. And obviously with friends, it's saying a kind word and being supportive, or just listening. I think the real power of this, and with me online, it's, well, people ask me stuff and I yeah, I mean, a lot of my time I spend, or a certain percentage anyway, I spend just giving stuff away, mm-hmm. because that's the world I want to live in, is mm-hmm. where people help other people without wanting anything in return, you know? So that's what I would like to share. Yeah, random acts of kindness.
I love that. Thank you so much for that reminder. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Until next time, be well.